Good morning.
How y'all doing today?
I love what Pastor Michael said. You know, it's just kind of like that scene in Forrest Gump when Forrest Gump says, you know, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. You might get some gospel. You might get some rock and roll. You might get some Hebraic dancing. You know, that's the beautiful thing about the Lord. It's just like all these flavors coming together. Amen. That's the ministry of reconciliation. We're like a melting pot here, and it's beautiful. Amen. Well, let's pray this morning as we get into what I believe that God has for us today. Sound good? Let's pray, church. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We just want to pause and say thank you. We want to pause and be grateful to you. We don't take it for granted that the God of the universe who created everything wants to be with us. We don't want to take it for granted that you want to speak to us today. We don't want to be full of presumption, and we don't want to be calloused in our hearts, but God, would you help us just to be open to what you have for us today? Open to your word, open to the move of your spirit in our lives, Lord. And we would be like that garden that's all tilled up and ready to receive that seed. And you would bear much fruit in our lives. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We say, come. Come. Come and fill this place. Come and stir our hearts. Come and do the work that only you can do in our lives this morning, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We count it such a privilege and an honor to know you and to serve you and to be counted as friends and sons and daughters of yours. We bless you in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Matchless name. Amen. Somebody say matchless. There ain't no equal to that name. Amen. There's only one name under all of heaven by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The one and true Son of God that was given to us. Amen. You know, I've just been kind of thinking in general terms of what is the purpose of what we're doing here on the earth? You know, as we look at the news, I mean, we look at the news, we can get so discouraged if we're honest. We can look at our social media and get disenfranchised with the state of the union, with the way that things are. And we can just look around and we can look at all these things and it can feel overwhelming to us, right? Sometimes life just hits us hard. So there's a purpose. I say, like, Lord, what is the purpose? What are we doing here? And I want to talk this morning a little bit about the mission of the church. And I'm talking about Big C Church. And when we say Big C Church, it kind of just means the global church, like the people of God, believers in Jesus, followers in Jesus, the Big C Church. Now, at Church in the City, we're a little C church, right? We're a part of that, but we're part of something much bigger, and that's the global body of Christ, the historical body of Christ. And for us, it's so important. I know we kind of talk about these things, and we've probably all heard these things before, but it's very important for us to remember what our mission is. What is our mission? The church, the Big C Church, has a mission. Somebody say, we have a mission. You know, when we use this word mission, we're really talking about this assignment or calling, like going on being sent on an assignment. You can kind of think of it in a couple different terms. I mean, maybe it looks like, you know, being with God and you're in that kind of like war planning center and he's the general and he says, okay, here's the mission. I want you to go over here and I want you to do this and I want you to accomplish that. And here's the resources that you need. You can kind of think it about that way. You know, I like to think of when we're doing tithes and offerings, when we're giving, we're actually sending our money on an assignment. When we use our credit card, we use our cash, whatever, and we're sowing into God's kingdom, we're saying, okay, you've got your marching orders money, go and destroy the works of hell and release the captives, set the captives free, and exalt the name of Jesus. Bye-bye. So we get to have authority over sending those things. And so when we're thinking about the mission of a church, you know, God's made me a steward, like a manager over my family, my wife, my finances, my job, my time, all of the things that we have, right? Our time, talent, and treasure. We're all managers of those things. But we get to send them out on assignment. And so when we're talking about the mission of the church, we're talking about what is God's mission, what assignment, what calling is he sending us on? It's important. It's important because this is all about the good news of Jesus Christ. Our mission is about the good news of Jesus Christ. He sent us on a mission. Does anybody remember that book called The Purpose-Driven Life? Has anybody ever here read that book? Could you just put your hand up? Listen, look around. That's pretty incredible for a book that a dude wrote. He was a pastor. His name's Rick Warren. He was pastor of this church called Saddleback Church out in, I think, California. That book sold 50 million copies. That's a lot of copies, y'all. And I believe that there's something even just about the title that's so intriguing. The Purpose-Driven Life. The Purpose-Driven Life. God wants us to live life on purpose. And I fear, and I know this has been true for me so many times, that it's almost kind of like I'm just living. I'm not living on purpose. I'm living, I'm getting by, I'm surviving, but I'm not really living on purpose. I'm not living from a mission. I'm not living from a calling. I've been in those seasons of life where I just feel like I'm getting by. Maybe somebody can relate to that. Maybe somebody knows what that feels like. Man, listen, I'm grinding right now. I'm just trying to get it out. I'm just trying to survive. I'm going day to day. I don't know where my next paycheck is going to be coming from. It's hard. It's a hustle. It's a grind. I feel without purpose. But the good news is that I want to talk about is that for us in the Big C Church, we have a purpose. We have a mission. And that thing is not tied to how much money we make, what kind of job we have, where we live, what we look like, our background, any of that stuff. That stuff is tied to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is called the good news for those who believe it. So our lives are going to bear that fruit whether we choose to believe this mission that we're sent on or not. So Jesus really breaks down what our mission is. This is from Matthew 22, 34 through 40. We're all pretty probably familiar with this. It says this, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. Okay, these are like the religious leaders of the day. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. He said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" He's kind of teeing Jesus up. He's kind of like, okay, tell us, why don't you drop some knowledge on us? Tell it like it is. Tell us what is the most important thing. What should we be doing? What is the meaning of life? What is the purpose? What's the mission? And Jesus, without dropping a beat, because he's God, he says this in verse 37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind." Pretty much everything. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Okay, so Jesus is saying all of these things in the Old Testament, what we know it today, all of these things are pointing to this. It can be summed up. The mission can be summed up by love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. Pretty simple, right? I don't even know how many words that was, but it's probably less than 20. But it is our mission. It is the Big C Church's mission to accomplish. It is our purpose. It is our calling. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, this is your calling. This is your purpose. This is your mission, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means everything. Somebody say everything. That means everything. Loving Jesus with our jobs, loving Jesus with our time, our resources, our treasure, our talents, our gifts, all of the things, we're loving God with those things. We're enamored with him like we were just in God's presence through worship. That's giving our all to him. That's recognizing who he is. We come before him and we just lose ourselves in his worship, in his glory, in his honor. Amen? That's part of it. That's a part of it. But it doesn't just stop on a service, amen? It doesn't just stop when we walk out of these doors. Listen, then we get onto the mission field. This is like the family gathering right here. This is like the celebration of who God is, what God's doing, what he wants to do. It's this time when we corporately, together as a family, we're getting together to worship the Lord, but then we get sent out. And then we go out and we start living like Jesus. I don't know about you, but man, too many times I walked out of those doors and it was like I was a different Simon. I was like a different guy when I would walk out. You know, like Monday morning would come, I'd be acting a little bit different. Tuesday, I'd be acting different. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, I'd start to kind of try to get back in line because I'm like, I got to go to church tomorrow morning. But I wasn't bearing the kind of fruit that was consistent with the mission. I didn't understand my purpose. I kind of thought that it was about kind of following the rules, and I kind of felt like a rule breaker because I couldn't get it right. I would try, but I would mess up. And I felt like I was kind of defined by my failures. And I had a mindset issue. I didn't allow the word to transform me, to renew me. I didn't believe him in what he said, if we're being honest. But the more that I did that, the more I realized I'm on a mission. Now, this is great. This mission is great. And Jesus also said something so profound for us in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. So he gave us our mission, and then he gives us, what's this? We remember that this is the assignment that God puts us on. Jesus came to them and said this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go," somebody say go, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them," somebody say baptizing them, "ooh, in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Surely I am with you to the very end of the age." We have our marching orders. We boil that down. Our mission is to love God and to love people, and we do that by listening and obeying God and by going forth and bringing the gospel to people, to making disciples, is the way that Jesus put it. A disciple is one who follows after someone else. Listen, we have a lot of disciples, and not everybody's a disciple of Jesus. We're all following somebody or something, right? We're all chasing something. We're all following after something. We're all disciples of something. I don't know about you, but I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to be a follower of Jesus. And I want to help to teach other people to be a follower of Jesus. Because there is nothing else like him. There is no other name in all of heaven or earth by which we must be saved. Sozo, that word saved means like the whole kit and caboodle, like everything. It doesn't just mean you get salvation. It means you get delivered, you get healed, you get eternal life. Your sins aren't held against you. You get set free. That's what we want, amen? And we want to help other people to get into that place. Brothers and sisters, we are on a mission. We are on a mission. We are on a mission to be radical lovers of Jesus. And I mean like radical lovers of Jesus. Ones who love him, ones who think about him night and day. Like the scripture talks about, like, you know, "I bound your word upon my arms, and it's upon my lips when I wake up and when I go to sleep." It's like I'm thinking about him all the time. I'm thinking about him at work. I'm thinking about him when I'm with my family. I'm thinking about him here. I'm thinking about, what does he want me to do? How can I be with him? How can I represent him? That's what we're talking about when we say disciples. And listen, all of us are in different parts of that journey. So listen, there's no shade that's getting thrown. If you feel like I'm like so far from that, no shade right now. Like there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is not about that kind of stuff. This is about let's go higher. Let's go further. Let's realize that God has sent us on a mission. That we have a purpose-driven life. The good news is this. I love that Jesus said this at the end of that Matthew 28. He said,
Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Listen, Jesus doesn't just send us on a mission and say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and love God extravagantly, be radical lovers of him, and then radical lovers of other people. I want you to learn to be a family of God. I want you to lay down all the junk, all the garbage, all the pain, all the hurt, all the unforgiveness, and I want you to wrap your arms around each other and move toward each other. I want you to forget about that racial stuff. I want you to forget about that social stuff, all that other junk, and I want you to come together as a family of God. He wants that. And I also want you to be sent out. I want you to go and talk to your neighbor about Jesus. I want you to go and share with your cousin or your auntie or your uncles or your brothers or the people at King Supers or the library. And I want you to love, did you know that Jesus loves you? Listen, he didn't just say, now you go and do that. He said, guess what? I'm going to be with you. And guess what? You can't do anything by yourself anyway. Because he knows that we're just a big hot mess without him. We need him. And he says, I love you so much. Guess what? You're not going by yourself. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Surely I am with you to the end of the age. What's that mean? Is it means in the second coming, when Jesus comes and puts his feet back on the earth, he is with us until then. And if you pass away before then, you're going to be in his presence. Surely I'm with you. And he does not play. He does not mince words and he doesn't mess around. If he says he's going to be with us, he's going to be with us. He has not left us. He has not forsaken us. If you feel left or forsaken, listen, that is not him. He has not gone from you. I'm talking to somebody this morning that feels like they are left and forsaken. They felt like the Lord left them. He did not leave you. I'm telling you right now. He is with you. Get your feelings out of the way and get into the word. Take him at his word, because those feelings are going to lie to us. Amen? My feelings lie to me all the time. Sometimes my knees lie to me when I'm trying to get out of bed. They're like, you can't do this. And I'm like, oh, I'm a big man. I got a lot of weight on these knees. That's not true. I can do it. I can get up. And listen, he is with us every single step of the way, amen? I'm sorry if I'm excited, but I'm excited. Because listen, we are sent on a mission. This is important. Too many of us, again, we're just eking by. Guys, we live this life that's just like, we get up and it's just like one day turns into the next and the next and the next. And before you know it, life is over. Or we're getting close to the end of life and we're like, how did I spend my time here? What was I actually following? What was I a disciple of? Was it Jesus or was it something else? Somebody say 84%. Did you know, according to multiple studies, that 84% of unchurched people, people that don't attend church, would go to church if somebody asked them to go with them. 84% of people. And listen, I know that there's nothing like magical about going to church. Just because somebody goes to church doesn't mean that they're saved. But listen, it is a place where we're encountering God. It's a place where they can experience something that's hopeful and hopefully full of the Spirit and life and experiences God who wants to set them free from this captivity. 84% of people would go if you asked them. Isn't that something? Woo! 7 out of 10 unchurched people have never been invited to church. They've never been invited. They never had somebody come into the light and say, hey, would you just come to church with me? Would you want to come to church with me? Come check it out. God has changed my life. You know, hopefully you like church. Hopefully you like coming. Hopefully you love to encounter the presence of God. And listen, God works in mysterious ways. And he puts things together that you could never think or hope or imagine. And I'm telling you, when you put that one foot out and you say to maybe a neighbor or a friend or somebody you've been thinking on, and it's like, hey, would you like to just come to church with me? Oh, well, I guess we'll check that out. I don't know. Why not?
I'm telling you, watch out. Watch what God does. Because God loves his people. He loves his creation, and he has moved heaven and hell to come and to be with us and to save us. And he loves our friends. He loves our families. Amen. He wants to set them free. This mission of the church, she really consists of, in my mind, and I don't know, this is the way I kind of think of two things, which is really kind of like God-focused and then people-focused. So God-focused is this encounter place, and we believe that you should be encountering God on the regular. Like when we talk about encountering God, it's kind of like if I go up to Michael and I'm in his presence, I'm having an encounter with Michael, right? I'm in his presence, I'm encountering him, I'm interacting with him. That's how it should be in our everyday lives. All the time. We want this to be a corporate place. And, you know, all of us, the community, the family of God getting together. And it's about God. It's about his work. And it's about him. The focus is on him. But then the other part of the mission is the people part. And half of that is going. Go and make disciples. Get outside of these walls. I don't know about you guys, but there is something sweet about what is happening with outreaches and with like reaching out and with people getting baptized. If you read any of the Christian news, there's this baptisms happening all over the place. I'm talking about mass baptisms. I'm talking about there's campuses and they're having 4,000 or 5,000 students commit their lives to Jesus and getting baptized. I don't know about you guys. Was that amazing? If you were here last week, we had baptisms during the service. Man, that is powerful. There is an anointing on recommitment and on baptism right now. You know, there always is, but there's seasons, there's times when you can feel God doing something with that. And part of that is our responsibility. If you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a follower of Jesus, it's not so that you can just receive good stuff and be saved and get your ticket to heaven and boom, I'm done. It's so that you can go and make disciples. It's that you can go and preach the good news, go and preach the gospel. And I'm not talking about you have to go and you have to know every jot and tittle of the Bible before you are ready to go out and you go to seminary and go through all these trainings and classings. Nothing against that. But listen, I'm talking about sharing with somebody. Listen, do you know what Jesus did for me? I was a mess. I was broken. I was addicted. I was, you know, and he set me free. And I believe that he loves you and he wants to set you free. Did you know that? Well, I don't even believe that there is a God. I remember one of these other pastors in the city. It's a good friend of mine, Peter Young. He used to work in the bank. And he was a manager at the bank. And people would come up to him because he was a believer. And people would come up to him and start talking to him about Jesus, unbelievers. Or pre-believers, I should say. And they would ask him about these kind of things. And he would say, well, yeah, I hear, you know, that you have these questions and stuff. I would challenge you to do one thing. You're questioning, is there a God? Is he real? I would challenge you to do this. And he said, just say this. God, if you're real, would you show yourself to me? How simple is that? God, if you're real, would you show yourself to me? And he said, you would not believe the amount of people that would come up to him and said, I said that. I thought I was just talking into the universe. And all of a sudden, God showed himself to me that he was real. It's an invitation. So these are those kind of things. Again, you don't have to feel totally equipped for everything. And there's classes and stuff that we want to offer and things that we want you to participate in and to feel equipped and to know things about your faith and be able to share those things. But sometimes it's as simple as smiling and saying, you know what? Jesus loves you. I feel like he wants me to let you know that right now. Loving people. There's the go of the gospel. That's half of it. But then the other half of it is becoming a family. Becoming the family of God. Listen, too many of us came from brokenness. And if we are honest, every single one of us came from brokenness. I don't care who your daddy is. I don't care who your mama is. She was broken. Your daddy was broken. Your grandma, that sweet, sweet grandma of yours, she was a broken person. Oh, somebody's like about to jump up here and go after me because I'm talking about their grandma. Listen, your grandma's awesome.
But they're broken where people are broken. Every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? And listen, we walk around in life so many times carrying the heaviness of what we went through, carrying the heaviness of what we saw, carrying the weight of that father who was never in your life, or that father who was abusive, or those things that happened to you that should not have happened, and we're wearing those things like a coat. And listen, that's a heavy weight to bear. And sometimes that affects the way that we're able to communicate, the way that we're able to be in relationship with one another. But how many people know that Jesus gave us something? He gave us something called the ministry of reconciliation. This is 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. It says this: "Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, bringing it back into rightness, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. Therefore, we're Christ's ambassadors. We're representatives. We're on a mission, as though God were making his appeal through us. "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So he's talking about, listen, that ministry of reconciliation is that God took the steps. He did what he needed to do to make us right with him. And the only way is through Jesus. The only way is through the blood that he was shed on the cross and that resurrection life. That's the only way. But then he also said, I gave you this ministry of reconciliation for one another. I want you to be reconciled to others. And I want you to help to reconcile others to God. Again, when I talked about that money being sent on a mission, when I look at that, you know, $20 bill or $50 bill, I said, listen, I'm sending you on a mission. And you go, and you destroy hell, and you release heaven. Go. Jesus looks at us, and he says, son, daughter, I'm sending you on a mission. Go. Destroy the works of hell. Release the goodness of heaven. Reconcile. And again, he didn't leave us without authority. He put authority on it. He is with us when we're doing these things. He's with us when we're creating family. He's with us when we're going and preaching the good news of the gospel. He's with us in this family room of heaven right here, this little slice of Denver. He's with us, amen? Is anybody glad that he's with us this morning? He is Emmanuel, God with us. It's so sweet. It's like that song, "How sweet it is to be loved by you." How sweet it is to be loved by you. How sweet it is. The rhythms of life, these different things that happen. Sometimes all of us went through, how many people went through a week this week? Did anybody really just go through it this week? A couple of us went through it. Listen, God is with you. I feel you. We had a week. I don't know what this is. We've had more theft of our credit cards and identity theft. I mean, it's been weird. But listen, Jesus is bigger than all that stuff. He's bigger than all those things. He's bigger than all that stuff. He's with us and he loves us. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. But listen, I want to tell you guys really plainly today that we are at war. There is a thief, there's an enemy of our soul, of our spirit, that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10 says this: "The thief," talking about Satan, the enemy, "the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." Don't get it twisted. He is not your friend. If it ain't Jesus, it ain't Jesus, it's him. If Jesus is not at the center, then it doesn't have Jesus at the center, and you get real off real quick.
Don't mix up adding and subtracting things from the Word of God, from His Spirit, trying to cheapen grace, trying to make it where you're also trying to get in by works. Don't try to do any of that stuff. Don't deviate from who Jesus really is. What He says. Don't get twisted, because the minute we do, we're giving the enemy a foothold. You know, back in the day, you know, Scripture talks about giving, don't give the enemy a foothold. Well, what is a foothold? You know, we probably don't use that a lot right now. Basically, they had these ancient walls that they would build. And if you're looking at scaling a wall, just kind of like if you go to the gym, you see a climbing wall, they're looking for places that they can scale the wall. That's a foothold. So they can go, oh, here's a little indentation right here. I can get up this wall. And so the more of those things that we open ourselves up to the enemy, the more things we're saying, why don't you come and ransack my life? And again, he will come in. He will be happy to steal, kill, and destroy from you, because he hates God's favorite creation, which is people. You and I are God's favorite creation. Every single person you see out there is God's favorite thing he's ever created. And the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So we got to set our lives, and we got to always be coming to the Lord and say, God, create in me a clean heart, Lord. Would you take these things, my weaknesses, any areas of stronghold, Lord, I submit those things to you. I don't want to have any open doors for the enemy in my life, in my family. Help me, God. And here's the good news. That second part of John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I have come that you would have life, and life to the full. Anybody want fullness? Is anybody satisfied with just a little bit of drop of Jesus? Just a little bit of glory. Hey, just take just a tiny bit. I mean, it's good. But I've tasted and seen. I know him. I want it all. Come on, I want it all. Jesus came that we would have it all. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life to the full. Stop playing around with this other stuff that's not going to get you where you want to go. Come into the fullness of life. Stop playing these games. Leave that stuff behind, because listen, it is not Jesus, and it's not going to lead you to life. It's not going to be life-giving. It's going to suck joy from you. It's going to steal from you, kill from you, and rob from you. Go to Jesus, the everlasting Word of life. He wants to give us fullness. Somebody say fullness. Fullness. What's this life look like? This full life looks like, it doesn't matter how popular I am. It doesn't matter what I do for a living. It's not going to qualify me for heaven. It doesn't matter what I look like, where I've come from. What matters is my life is full of Jesus. I want to fulfill that mission that he's given us, to love him with every single thing that I've got. To listen to music, to worship music. When you're in the car by yourself, man, I just challenge you. Try to get so messed up in the Lord, you got to pull over. Get into the presence of God, and you're just like, oh, man, oh, he's just so good. And you just got to pull over, and maybe a cop pulls you. Are you okay? Everything all right? Oh, it's just the glory of God right now. How many of you, I've been in that place before. I just like, you put on some worship, and it just like hits my spirit. I got to pull over him. Oh, God. Get in God's presence and don't leave. Don't leave. Don't leave. When you leave this place, don't leave him. When you leave this building, don't leave God. Don't leave his spirit. When you stop singing songs and stop worshiping, don't leave him. Never leave him. We live our lives to please him and to be with him and connect with him and say, God, what do you want to do today? What's on your heart? How do you feel about this? Talk to him. Interact with him. And I'm willing to bet he's going to say, now listen, it's not just about us. It's about all these other folks out here. Now go. Go and do something. When we talk about these outreaches that we're doing, it's just tools. It's just tools. Sometimes it looks like going to knock on people's doors and say, hey, you know, we're just here. We're having a community event. We wanted to invite you. Is there anything that I can pray for you? Again, sometimes it's a relational evangelism where you've been talking to people about your faith for years. Sometimes it's a power encounter with the gifts of the Spirit, and you feel something for somebody that you don't know in the natural. Somebody's going through, that's called a word of knowledge. You might get a word of knowledge about somebody, share that with them. Hey, are you actually battling some health issues with your heart or something? That might sound wild, but is that something you're going through? Well, yes, it is. Watch and see. I'm telling you, when we take steps, we're working with God. Watch and see what he does to fulfill that great mission, because he sent us on a mission and he's also filled us with his Spirit. And lastly, I would say, let's reconcile. Let's be people who, this should be a family. Listen, when you walk into church in the city, Beth Abraham, you should be like, man, this feels like home. I'm at home in God's presence. I don't know if you look around, not everybody looks like you. Isn't that beautiful? Not everybody votes like you. That's beautiful. Not everybody's in the same financial bracket as you. That's beautiful. Listen, that's the way, I believe that's what heaven should look like. That's what heaven does look like. Looks like all these different things coming together. That's the ministry of reconciliation. God gave us that same anointing to reconcile to one another. And some of us, we just need to put some smiles on our faces. Be happy to see somebody. Hey, how you doing? Be glad to see somebody. Make that effort. Go and shake somebody's hand and say, I'm glad to see you today. How you doing? What's been going on? Again, this should feel like when people come in here, like when we invite those friends and family, because I don't know if you picked up on that, but Mrs. Little Hint, invite people to church. Just invite friends to church. Make it habitual. Make it just part of your everyday thing. And it's just like, and if they don't want to go, that's fine too. Hey, that's all good. You know, it's just like some people plant, some people water, but it's God that brings the increase. You're planting a little seed there. Hey, do you want to go to church? No, I'm good, thanks. I guarantee they're going, well, maybe I do want to go to church. I kind of always wonder what those Christians do at church. What are they doing inside of there? Again, plant those seeds, but just be proactive. But we want to be a family that's sent on a mission that's loving God and worshiping him. Amen? That is the mission of the church. I want to leave it with this. This is about co-laboring. Co-laboring with God. There's this beautiful thing about co-laboring with God. And this is a beautiful, beautiful thing that I feel like is such a blessing to us, that we get to be co-laborers. 1 Corinthians 3:5 through 9 really talks about us being co-workers with God. You have co-workers at your job? Listen, it's like we're working with God. That's crazy. Who's your co-worker? God. Hello. Talk about a good co-worker. It says this in 5 through 9. It says, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned each to his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God is making it grow. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes the things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers in God's service, and you are God's field, God's building. It's incredible. He's just saying, just make this a lifestyle. Wherever you're at, whoever you have influence with, make it a lifestyle. Maybe somebody on Facebook. Hey, would you like to go to church with me? What can I be praying for you? Talk to them about Jesus. Make this a part of your normal life and watch and see what God does. Amen? And then for us, let's work on being a better family to one another. Take somebody out to lunch. Get together with somebody after church. Grab coffee during the week. Meet in somebody's home. Say, what's going on? Hey, let's break bread together. I've broken a lot of bread in my days. I smashed that bread. Tortillas. You break tortillas. I don't care. Go for it. Taco Jalisco. Amen. See, now we're talking. That's good stuff. But that stuff is easy. But it just takes intentionality. And everybody, I believe, everybody's looking to be seen. Everybody wants to be known, right? Everybody wants as a desire. I hope somebody sees me. I hope somebody asks me for coffee. Be the person who asks them. And if you're waiting for somebody else, go and be the one to initiate. Don't just sit back and wait for somebody to get together with you. We'll get together with them. And we start cultivating this atmosphere. And when people come in here, they start feeling this is like a family, like a healthy family. It's not a perfect family, but it's a healthy family. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. You know, I had this vision at the outreach. I had shared this, and this is a vision that I had during a prayer time a couple years ago. This is in 2019. And back in 2019, I had this vision, and we were in kind of like this soaking time, and we were just thinking about the Lord, and God showed me this picture. And in this picture, there was this field. And this field was beautiful, and it was golden. And in the middle of this field, there was like this kind of part that had been like harvested, and there was this beautiful table. It's like an ornate table, this beautiful wooden table. And it was huge. And there was all these people that were working around this table, and they had such joy on their faces in this vision. These people were like, they were happy, and they were looked all like all kinds of different people. Some were young, some were old, black, white, brown. I mean, and they were all working together, and they had this joy on their faces. And I was looking, and they were like getting the table ready. And then some of them were bringing cups over, or some of them were bringing plates over, but they were so happy, and they were looking at each other. And the next thing that happened in this picture is that there was these people that were started to come in from every direction toward this table. And so people out of these fields, and they were kind of like looking around, and they kind of like, what am I doing here? And they would come to the edge of this field, and all of a sudden there were some of these other folks that were like friends of the bridegroom, and they were looking for these ones, and they would come up and they would meet them and say, hey, how you doing? Hey, you're come over here, your seat's right over here. And they would usher them in, and there was amazing, because in this picture, there was these golden like nameplates. And those nameplates, they had been etched, and they were for those people that were coming in from the field. And it was like somehow they had their names written on these things. And all of a sudden, in this picture, I saw Jesus. And these people were sitting down at these places that they had, these nameplates. And they were sitting down, and some of these people had gang tats. Some of these people had stuff I knew from living lifestyles that they shouldn't be living in. And what happened was all of a sudden, Jesus started walking around this table. And as he was walking around this table, he was looking at these people sitting down in the eyes. And listen, when Jesus would look at them in the eyes, they would get completely set free. Because those eyes of Jesus were looking at them. And these gang tats that they had were disappearing. Rainbow flag tattoos disappearing. Hurts and pains, you could see them just getting washed off, and people's like their lives started just opening up to Jesus. And I really feel like that God showed me that, because this was like a picture of what our responsibility is. We're those people who are called to set the table. We're the people who are called to go out to the fields, and when people are looking around like this, hey, come here, there's a place for you at this table. Look at this, sit right here, and we introduce them to Jesus. It's not up to us to save anybody, but it is up to us to be intentional and see what God's doing and be co-workers with God and help and say, I'm going to do this. And I might just be somebody who's going to put a cup on the table, but listen, I'm going to put a cup on the table for Jesus, and I'm happy to do it. So I would just challenge us this morning, church, that what is God saying to us? What is God requiring of us? And what does he say? Okay, what's the next step for us? And for each of us, that's going to be different. Maybe some of that go of the gospel, maybe that's a real challenge. It kind of makes us feel a little queasy or a little, you know, like inviting people to church seems kind of strange. I've never done that before. Maybe it's that intimacy with God that feels challenging. Maybe it's that connecting with other people, the family of God, that's hard. Now you find relationships hard. Whatever it is, Jesus wants to meet you right where you're at. And we do want to make this altar available. Listen, if God's doing something in your heart, or if you don't even know who Jesus is and you want to, you're like, you're talking about this Jesus and I feel something going on. We want you to come forward. We will pray for you. Jesus wants to save you and set you free.
But we want to pray for you. If you want to come down, feel free to come on down. We want to minister to you. But let's just sing the song. Let's just allow God to do whatever it is that he wants to do. Lord, we just thank you. We just come into this time right now, Lord, with open hearts and saying that you have sent us on a mission. Lord, that we want to live life on purpose. We are not an accident. We want to be your hands. We want to be your feet. We want to go. We want to worship you and love you and be radical lovers of you and love others as we love ourselves. Speak to us this morning in Jesus' name.